And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Got a beard! You're in the glare, you're in the best beard, Zach. I got a beard, Sarah. From the beautiful studios of Phoenix, .com. That was a good one. All right. Mr. Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor. Yeah, just the last hour we had on, you know, another young man that I used to talk to back in the day when he was a youngin. You know, God, man, he must have been mid-25 or something like that. Peter Schiff and I both spoke at a thing in Vegas that they put on called Nomad Capitalist Deal. But and I recognized a lot, you know, in Tim Pachote from this financial perspective, a young guy, but he was single and he traveled the world, and that was different. Well, here in America, if you're in America, you stay in America, got America, you know, you need some Liberty Advisor America. You know, Tim Pachote has been covering this everything, and I want to get his everything on everything. So I'm going to turn it over to the everything man, Mr. Tim Pachote, the LibertyAdvisor.com. All right, tell us what we need to know, how freaked out we should be, and where we're going to make all our money.
Good morning, and the everything man. That's the one thing I don't think I've been called
everything.
Before. Yeah, I think the full time we did a full economic report was the Tuesday before Anarchapoco, so we're probably talking like February 10th. So has anything gone on in the economy since February 10th?
I don't know stuff.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the things that have just gone on in the past 3 weeks. We've had the Fed has reduced rates down to zero. Surprise, surprise. They've reduced the reserve requirement down to zero. So that's something Ernie was calling all along. And when we initially said that the banks had to have 10% of your capital.
Yeah, that was last week.
So now you don't have to. So now you don't have to have any money in the banks anymore. We've got Paul on CNBC even saying that there's $500 billion 3 month term repos. And John Snyson and I have been on your show. And
okay, now wait. Explain that. Say that again.
So the repo market used to just be an overnight market. Then it went from overnight to 2 weeks to 32 days to 3 months. And it's, so now we're at 3 months, but now the repo market is pretty much dried up because you don't have to have any reserves and requirement anymore. So there really isn't too much of a need to even do repo.
Okay. Now see, all right, I'm going to explain it for the audience the way I think it is so that I can, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I just want to make sure people understand what's going on because I need to be able to explain it and be right. Okay. This is what deal's going on. Because I remember back in the, it used to be you had to have 20%. Wasn't it 20% reserve?
That's probably before my time.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, back in the day, I just remember 20%. So anyway, I wake up and all of a sudden now it's 10%.
It used to have 100%. So it used to be 100% back in the day. But yeah.
Okay. Well, reserves is like if somebody gives me $1,000, well, then I got $1,000 sitting in the bank back there. You know, that's 100% reserve. Yeah, it's right back there. You know, and you charge a fee or something to pay employees or whatever, you know, and you get, you know, you paid me to store your money. Well, then they'll go, you know, if you let us use your money a little bit, you know, we'll give you free checking or something, or we'll give you a savings account, or we'll give you 2% while we go make 5% with your money or some crap like that. So then it started to get to where they're using a lot of your money. Well, we got to have a law. You got to have some in reserve, 20%. Okay, well, that's too much. We'll make it 10%, 5%, whatever. We'll go, here it's 10% that you have to have cash in reserve for liquidity if there's a run in the bank or people want their money or because we say, you know, because. So then they got 10%. Well, at the end of the day, they go and they say, all right, Are we above, short? What kind of, oh man, we're a little short on this. We stay compliant with the law or the man or whatever. They need to have their 10%. So they'll go and borrow. They'll give some of their assets to somebody and say, here's some of our stocks. We put up a collateral to balance our stuff out for less than 24 hours, overnight, 12 hours, whatever, just to keep their requirements. Well, then it got to where we don't want to, we can't do that. We need our 10% and things are going down and we're losing money. Here's all our trash, toxic waste of crap. And, you know, you take that and they go, nah, we don't want that crap and you'll never be able to pay it back. And then we'll have a bunch of crap and you got our money. We're not doing it. Well, then they couldn't get the money to get their 10%. So then the Federal Reserve goes, don't worry about it. We'll open the window. We'll guarantee it. We'll just print money for you. We'll whatever. So they come in to the tune of trillions of dollars, and they're like giving, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars here, 20 billion there, 80 billion there. You know, into, once they started this, well, then they went to the Fed to get their cash for their crap. Before, during the TARP and the 08-09 fiasco, when the 09 happened, they just bought up all their crap and gave them money and just kept it on the balance sheet. You know, we have an author wrote a book about it. You know, I'm going, okay. Then you got the Big Short and all this kind of stuff. Well, then you go, all right, well, that stuff's just sitting there. It's just, I'll wait till 30 years and the mortgages go done. They write it off and we're done and not performing.
They're doing that too. So, but
are they writing it off?
Let me finish.
So then you have the Federal Reserve is lending money to these banks and they go, the window's open? Well, I got a bunch of crap I want to give you. So they're dumping all their crap, just like the TARP. It's just a different avenue, a different method of doing this. They dump it on the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve gives them a bunch of money. They go, yeah, you don't have to pay it back overnight anymore. It's tomorrow, next week, a month, 3 months. This is how they're pumping this stuff into the market. Then they do in commercial paper, which is between whatever. They're going to bail out, you know, big industries. They're going to bail out corporations. They're going to bail out. This bailout is going to dwarf 09. But this is just, when he's talking about the repo market, it was just a mechanism for them to kind of balance out their reserve that now has gone to the Federal, wasn't the Federal Reserve, it was commercial banks that were doing it. Now, and that's where the LIBOR scandal and the percentage fixing, all this other crap, corruption. So then it goes to the Federal Reserve, they're just giving them the money, and it's another mechanism for them to take all their crap that they got on their books that are underperforming, not performing, dog crap, and they give it to the banks. How far off am I? Or the central bank.
The skip to the end version is that's pretty good. So.
I mean, you know, basically yeah. That's what's going on, right? Yeah. So now they go, well, we don't even need a reserve. But how are they going to pump the money into the system if they don't have this reserve requirement? And that means that they already unloaded off all their crap. I guarantee it.
Well, the other thing that they're doing is that the Fed is now buying up corporate bonds. And they're actually going directly to the ETFs themselves and purchasing the bonds directly from them. And so you have the bonds at all-time highs, and now they're able to unload those bonds for 100 cents on the dollar to the Federal Reserve because the bond market is a much bigger deal than the stock market. And if we pull up on screen, you said the next stimulus is going to be a lot bigger. Well, now Larry Kudlow is pitching a $6 trillion coronavirus stimulus package. $6 trillion. I mean,
why not? You know, they started off with one, then it was two, and then it was four. I go, why not six? What the hell? Boom, there it is. I'm going, they're just seeing what they can get away with. And nobody's there like, yeah, whatever. You're going to whatever. There's nothing. What are people going to do? Complain? They're going to write their congressman or something? I mean, what's going to stop them? $6 trillion. And then they're, you know, the Democrats are putting in on this. Yeah, you want your $6 trillion? Not a problem, but we want all this and that. And anybody that takes this money has to be diversified and have a, you know, diversity, you know, executive officer of how they spent and how, you know, dark their skin is and how many sex changes they've had. I mean, you know, this is amazing what's good. This is the fall. This is the crack up boom. This is the, you know, you want to see how the Roman Empire went? This is it. You know, I mean, how far off am I? Come on, skip to the end. Man, we're all doomed. Say it.
Yeah, well, we're not all doomed. I mean, the few of you out there who got into my strategies, I think you guys aren't doomed, but all the people that are going to go beg for all our stuff. So on a long enough time horizon, we're doomed. But no, I've got a whole bullet point of list of just crazy stuff the Fed's done in the past 3 weeks.
All right, when we come back, all the crazy stuff, but the Liberty Advisor, his people, they did okay. You did okay. And who introduced you? You guys feel me? If you took our advice, you'd be okay.
Are you feeling confused about the current economic reports that dominate the headlines? Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
This is the...
Okay, I'm looking at here. I haven't seen this one yet. I'm looking forward to watching it. Is an economic 9/11 is upon us, the Tim and John show. Okay. So is that what you're calling it, Tim and John show?
Yeah, when we do those ones, yeah, we're calling it Tim and John show.
Okay, I dig those. All right, so this is, you know, here we go. How's it going with Luke? You guys, you know, digging the change of news thing?
Yeah, we're starting to get a better flow of how to do things, and I've got a guy now who's going to be building out the XSplit OBS background to make it even better and pimp out the live shows even better. And I found a guy who would actually be willing to do it, be a producer too, and do it like.
Well, if you got a guy pimping out the OBS, I'm need OBS pimping.
And I told him, I told him about you and how. So I'm going to see how he does. He said he'll get back in 48 hours.
Okay.
Some addition, some special OBS, I think called Streamlabs, that then does extra stuff. Whereas I'm using XSplit now, but. I guess OBS uses a lot less.
Well, we tested, the one thing, I have the big switcher in here, and I got a nice switcher. I like just pushing a button. But Derek was showing me what OBS can do in a lot of the, I said, well, can it do green screen? And he goes, well, let me see. Yeah, okay, there, yeah. It does green screen. Okay, I'm like, all right. We may be, pimping it out. But fortunately, the way it is now, I have everything pretty close, more... I'm my own board op. I can do a lot of stuff, from this seat, but I don't have the producer, a lot of the stuff getting guests on, or that you guys don't do the guest thing, so that's a whole nother layer of crap. So Donna is going to have full access to everything, too, from her station on the bus.
And we're going to be. We're going to be getting guests on, and but yeah.
That's a whole nother level of freaking produced pain in the butt. So it's we're getting that all set, and the big thing is... I'm going to be able to do more from even closer, and we have, it'll be cool. I'm really looking forward to bringing the bus back here, and you guys, we'll do a show from it. You'll go,
damn,
a leather couch, damn.
You're gonna make me want to get a bus with all that.
I'm telling you, it's pimp. It's gonna be cool. Because I don't want to suffer a year on the road doing this crap, and I want it to be able to be folded away too. It's boom, 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 and it's gone. I got all this space, and then boom, 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 boom. I had in my head what I wanted, and my son-in-law had something in his garage the way that he, did some stuff, and I go, yeah, I want. I know. Now you have inspired me. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Here we come back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, it's just a little walk of life. What has the Fed done to me lately? The Fed is like a thing now. It was always never an issue until the 08 campaign. Libertarians have been yakking about it forever, how this is going to go bad and why. And then when it did in 08, 09, it was like, damn, is that what you were talking about? Yeah. All right. Well, tell us all the bad news that they've done now, Tim. What's up?
and all the bad news. That's probably a lot of news that I don't even know that they've done. But yeah, they've reduced rates down to zero, reduced the reserve requirement.
Okay,
wait.
Reduced rates to zero. What rate? What does that mean?
Well, the Fed funds rate.
What does that mean? A fund rate. Whoa, what does that mean?
If you stop me every 2 seconds for the level 101 stuff, I'm never going to be able to. It's going to be a 3-hour show. It's the Fed funds
doesn't
rate.
Doesn't mean anything to me if you don't tell me. Hell, you're assuming I even know.
You know, if I have to explain every little detail of this, there's no way I'm going to get to anything. But the Fed funds rate, I mean, if you know what, go to my Anarchapoco speech. If you want to know what the repo markets is or Fed funds rates are, I go into extreme detail into all that stuff, man.
This all just, right, go through your list.
$185 billion. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you don't know what the Fed's fund rates is, you're not going to know anything else I'm talking about at this point. So $185 billion in QE per day. The markets that they're willing to, the Feds that are willing to provide unlimited support to the markets. That was the exact quote, unlimited. They're now buying mortgage-backed securities, treasuries, basically outright monetizing the debt at this point, buying muni bonds, corporate bonds. They're technically not buying stock, but they are because they're allowing banks can now give use stock as collateral, so they give the banks, so the banks give the Fed stocks, and the stock and the bank and the Fed gives the banks money. So technically, they're pretty much buying stocks at this point. They've got a 2-year blackout, so we don't even know who all this repo money was going to for 2 years. As part of the bailout proposals, we won't know who's getting that money for 6 months. Was one of the things that were talked. The Financial Accounting Standards Board wants to change how banks do accounting, so that way their losses won't appear as bad. I mean, all these rules getting rewritten. Then yesterday, I'm sure you saw the news about the digital dollar that was first in one of the bills, and then what was it? The Maxine Waters bill had it in there, but the Dianne Feinstein or Pelosi bill didn't have it in there. So they wanted to create a digital dollar, and so to get your $1,500 or whatever,
you have to totally agree.
Yeah, you've got to give your ID or passport or something, and probably go with some sort of mobile app. So that way they can geolocate you, and then you get your $1,000. But then your $1,000 is then track, trace, surveilled on the FedReserve.gov, GoldmanSachs.gov coin, where eventually they'll probably, you know, once they suck enough people in, they show you how easy it is, they're going to start social engineering you, and they're going to start using social credit score, and it's going to be the mark of the beast. And yet, I think this is one of the biggest stories pretty much
GoldmanSachs.gov coin. Did I call it? This is exactly what they wanted, and they're doing their push, and here it comes. And you're going to get your universal basic, you whatever. You know, here's your, I go, can I just endorse the check and just send it to the IRS and be done, you know, or have you just send it? And they go, nope. You got to totally agree on this phone app of the new device if we track and got and surveil you and whatever, and you get paid for that surveillance. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and yet I get people in the comments who are like, oh, well, you're not. How come you're not talking about the bigger aspects of crypto and why Bitcoin jumped up 7% today? It's like, I don't give a rat's ass why Bitcoin jumped up 7% when you've got the news that the Fed is trying to come out with their own, or the Treasury's coming out with their own digital dollar and digital wallets, and not even a peep anywhere about this. And so for me, I mean, that's one of the biggest news ever. It's everything I've pretty much warned about, and you've warned about, and everyone listening to this is warned about, and now we're here.
It had enough impact that they pulled it out of Maxine. See, Maxine Waters is, I guess, the committee chair in finance or whatever. That gives me all kinds of warm fuzzies right there. So I'm going, yeah, Dianne Waters, I mean, Waters, whatever her name is. I'm going, yeah, Waters, yeah. She knows, you know, Maxine, she knows everything about finance and digital and cryptocurrency. Oh, yeah, let's have her do it, you know? And I'm going, wow, this is so blatant with this. And then I get, you know, kind of trolled a little bit, you know, on Telegram. Some guys say, oh, well, that story, they pulled that out. They pulled that. I go, I'll bet you a gazillion credits, whatever they wind up being.
File balloon.
I'll bet you a gazillion credits. It's coming back. There is no way they're going to let this crisis go without the opportunity to have a GoldmanSachs.gov coin crypto. We rule everything, everybody, and I totally agree. That is, I guarantee it. They get that one, and if they don't this time, it's going to get everything else set up for next time or next week or something. This has been, they are not, and this happened in January of 16. Patrick Byrne told me, he goes, look, man, Goldman Sachs called me up, wanted to meet. Where's our role in this new crypto? There isn't one. Well, damn it, if you can't beat them, join them or take them over. And here it comes. And so is Bitcoin going to be part of this Goldman Sachs dot whatever? No, can't. And they were screaming for it to be. Pick us. We'll be compliant. Satoshi Vision. Oh, we're the most compliant. We'll be compliant. Well, whatever they wind up coming up with, it won't be freedom for you. I guarantee it. It'll be another blockchain in the link in the chain to the crown. I mean, that's what's going to happen, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And this was all just a trial balloon to see how the people would react. The average person's not, you know, doesn't care about anything. They're just watching Netflix at home right now, using this as a big vacation to go eat and get fat. So, you know, I guess at the end of the day, you know, I guess
they ain't going out to restaurants in Arizona.
I don't know. My life hasn't really changed too much.
Mine neither.
I basically quarantine myself up here in Estancia and just do everything around. I guess the pools are closed, so that sort of sucks. But I went to your illegal party the other day, and I guess that was
No, we violated something. I'm sure, you know.
I had someone say, "Wasn't that against the law?"
Did somebody say that?
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
You're not supposed to have more.
It ain't worth having if you don't have it against the law. You know, oh, and I got, I don't know if I told you, one of the girls from the Arizona Project from Wuhan, China, her flight was canceled. She's been staying here last couple of days.
Oh, wow.
So I got a Wuhan, China, 22-year-old Chinese girl in my home, and we're all going to die. We're going to die. You know, wow. No, the only big concern was that she was in these airports, you know, trying to get home. And that, you know, but I flew from back east, and it was, you know, I was one of six passengers, one flight, and one of 24 and a big 737 getting back from Newark. So I'm just going, I need to go back April 3rd. I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and then what didn't. I finally caved and got the whole global entry TSA pre-check. I think I remember telling you guys about this last time. And I ended up, of course, I get it February 19th. I'm like, so I finally caved, finally go into all this stuff, and now I get pre-checked, and I don't even need it. So, I mean, go figure that I've gone all
the
way. What
do you mean you don't need it? Because you can't fly?
Oh, there's certainly global entry. Because now you don't even need it because there's no lines. And so it's not like I'd have to go wait to...
No lines. I go in like this. I go, there's just me and one other guy and the whole freaking thing. You know, like a two dozen TSA guys. No, I go, I'm down. And they, you know, we'll go through the... They thought I was kidding. I go, no, I want to hop down. I got a blue audience.
Why did you move?
Opt out. Because I remember when they first started that, you'd say, well, I'd like to opt out. And they go, opt out, got an opt out over here. And I'm like, what the hell was that? They're trying to shame you or something, right? So I go like, so from then on, they pissed me off. I go up and I go, I'm opting out over here. You're not going to screw you, man. God, Andrew Anderson, he's another financial guy. He's in Malaysia now in the first hour. And he goes, you know, they just treat you like human beings overseas. You know, it's just, you know, you don't have all this psychological warfare BS that they do all the time. It's just, you know, good morning, give money and peace and, you know, be gone. So, you brought some water in, you know, your bag. Okay, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? It's just not stupid stuff. I mean, it's just stupid.
Throw it over there in the trash can. Throw it over there in the trash can right next to everybody else that's standing in line.
You know what I had? They go and they search my bag. They always search because of the my backpack. And they said, it's because of this. You know, it's this little wrist thing. It's got these little, you know, plastic BBs or whatever it's in that. It's a, you know, a mouse wrist pad. And that just triggers it, man. So I go, finally, I bury it deep in the bag and make them really hunt for it, you know. But if I'm in a rush, I'll take it and I'll put it in one of the outside bags or something like that. But they're going to go through it. Well, they had in there, I went through and it was what was left in the refrigerator in the bus. And I got a, you know, the small orange juice and a V8. I had a V8 and orange juice. And they took them. And I'm just like, you know, I go, I always do this whenever they take anything. I go, I'm giving it to you. Because if you just kind of, that's like stealing. I don't want you to be a thief. So I'm giving it to you. Well, we can't take it. I go, God, if you just throw it away, that's just stealing. You know, I tell you what, I give it to you and you do what you want with it. So they throw it in the trash. And I go, okay. I just want them to feel like, yeah, you're a little bit of a thief. You're a little thief. Just a little thievery there. Just a little bit, you know.
So well, it's sort of like when Derek, sort of like when they took my silver and, I mean, Derek Slopey was there, and then they said something along the lines of, I mean, this gets into the whole big story. It was kind of
well,
funny.
Well, it was an ounce of 45 silver bullet. I mean, it's just all silver. It just looks like a bullet, but they just can't have that.
No, and then they said, I'm like, listen, you guys are stealing this from me. They're like, are you questioning our integrity? I go, I'm not questioning your integrity. You work for the TSA, so I'm just going to assume you don't have any.
And, did you say that?
Yeah, and then that's when they were like, well, listen, like you better, you know, get out of here because we're not too happy about that. Yeah, and actually,
and they took your bullet?
Yeah, so thank you to Tim Fry for giving that bullet that I had for like 2 days, and then they confiscated it.
Well, how did they even see it?
Well, through their X-ray machine thing.
That oh, it looked like a bullet.
Yeah, when the bag was going through. And they miraculously, it was probably because it was silver, not probably because it looked like bullet. And so they probably were able to detect, hey, this guy's trying to sneak some money out of here.
He's got a whole ounce of silver bullet. That's awesome. Yeah,
but actually, the funnier, so backing that up, what happened is there's a big black guy. He's probably 6'4", 250 pounds, this big, big dude. And we're standing in line.
40 seconds.
I go up a little bit too close to the lady in front of me, and he's like, you need to get back. I didn't say to get here. So then it's my turn. So I go up there. Derek's next to me. I just had met Derek like 3 days before. And so then he's mad that Derek isn't in line next to me when he just yelled at me for having me in line. So he's like, is Derek with you? He's like, is he with you? I'm like, well, no, he's not with me. He's like, is he with you? I'm like, well, I just met him. He's like, is he with you? I'm like, well, he's not my boyfriend. And so then the guy wanted Derek next to me, and then I opted out, and then they found the bullet. Then I, yeah, it was, at one point, Derek was taping it, but I think he lost the tape or it got corrupted. Ugh,
these guys, man. All right, here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we don't need no sticky roads. Yep, no roads. You know, this is I'm sorry, you know, I get, you know, a little giddy on this stuff. It's not that it's I get pleasure in saying I told you so. It's that when we describe all this stuff that's happening and all the stuff that's coming, it's I don't know, beneficial, satisfying, you know, makes it easier for us to go, look, this is exactly what we were talking about. This is exactly what they did. It was expected. It was, you know, so it was all like, you know, Peter Schiff was right kind of thing. Well, he's going, they're never going to, you know, clear the balance sheet. They're never going to this. They're never going, they can't. They can't, they can't. The math, they can't, they can't, they can't. Well, then
except,
they do this.
His clients have still been getting wrecked the past 10 years, and we actually, you know, fared extremely well throughout all this. So
Tim, man, he's going to toot his horn. We'll get you a horn tooting here in just a minute. But, you know, the thing is that the basic underlying understanding of what had to happen, but then there are opportunities out there. So the Liberty Advisor, when the people you started taking this tack of knowing this was coming, what is your strategy that was so different that you were able to make all this before? And then what did you put puts on, you know, in the market now? How'd you know what to short?
Well, I mean, well, it was a very simple strategy is that we knew essentially that we didn't want to have we were in a gigantic bubble. We knew that we were in a bubble. And I got to give credit to Kirk Chisholm and Rajiv Khotian as well, for who are portfolio managers and who also, you know, are on board and similar thinking of how we are, people listening to the show. And so we had known this was a big bubble, but we also didn't want to have to fight the Fed, and we didn't want to, you know, turn down all this free money. But we also knew at any point it could collapse 50%. And so we were underneath the thesis that it could go up 50% or it could drop 50%. Yeah, what great analysis. But in this rigged market, I mean, that was a very likelihood scenario. And so what happened was, when we first started getting clients over around August of 2018, we had bought put options on the S&P 500, but we were also long the S&P 500. And so when the market then immediately went down, because October Q4 of 2018, the market was down 20%. Right when this is at the time when the Federal Reserve was selling $50 billion of bonds a month. And so I first came out in video the day before this program was launched and talked about my strategy. So Jerome Powell were on autopilot, and we're going to be raising the rates by a quarter of a percentage every quarter. And so he went from selling $50 billion a month to now stimulating $185 billion a day. So quite the economy of how things have changed. And so what happened was, at the time in August 2018, to buy that insurance, so to speak, it's not insurance, but was about 3%. So when everything was going down in Q4 2018, we were only down 3. Then last year, the market was up, the S&P was up 30. The puts cost a little bit more at the time, it cost about 5%. So last year, we were up about 25. And then this year, we re-upped those put options January 15th. They cost about 5%. So effectively, we lowered the max we could lose this year was 5% in that strategy. And so when everyone else, if the market were to go down 50, we could then exercise the put options, essentially buy twice as many stocks. And then when the Fed pumps it and starts buying everything and makes this a 1,000% rigged economy, then we'll have twice as much money when everything goes back up. Because the point wasn't to do a bunch of, because if we were doing a whole bunch of dangerous stuff to make money off of this whole thing, then we would have been getting wrecked the past 10 years. So one of the few people who got almost all the upside last year and almost none of the downside this year. And I've got some clients that are actually still even year to date. And so year to date, most people are down about 5%, but and that's 100% invested into the market. How many financial advisors out there are only down across the board of all their clients 5%, probably hardly anybody, and who went up 25 last year? So maybe some people are sitting in cash, maybe they're even this year, but they probably didn't go up 25 last year. And so I really do appreciate everyone here who's helped. Basically, I was going through a hard time at one point making all these sacrifices, and now more people are calling me and scheduling me, and I can't even like really keep up with it. And so
anticipated that. You told people, you said, look, you wanted to get this, it's free now. The first 50, 100, 20 people, whatever, it's free now. And then they ain't going to be free. Just FYI, when the tsunami comes, I'm going to take care of those who are going to be paying me some money. And I love on you now, and later don't be whining. So is that people calling you and go, hey, it was, can I get that free deal? I mean,
The crypto IRAs, I was giving it the free. There's people in this audience who, had crypto IRAs that were, some of them were small enough where there's no way I would have even consider it now. And I did it for free for them as trying to, in my own like beta test program. And now, I'm looking at, essentially it's not free unless you've got over $500,000 with us in aggregate to set it up, because it's such a pain to get these set up. But now it's a lot easier because I've got different connections and we've been doing it for 2 years now. So I've learned. So
in the industry, you beat the industry. They were saying you can't do this. You can't even think about doing it. And nobody can do it because we're going to do it and we'll do it later. And it's all ours and we have no competition because you're not allowed to do it. Well, you went ahead and did it anyway. And then the whole industry is starting to do this kind of starting to think about, and they want to charge $1 trillion. How far ahead are you guys? Do you still got a comfortable lead on this kind of stuff?
Comfortable lead. I mean, I don't even know if anyone else is even like really thinking about this. I mean, I don't really know how much competition there is. So, I mean, I'm running a race that no one else is even in. So, especially for doing what I'm doing. I mean, there's facilitators that can do what I do, and there's lawyers who can do aspects of what I do. But I mean, even the traditional things that we do aren't even traditional in terms of doing the put option strategy. But it's not that's not a set it and forget it, just leave it there forever. That's what you want to be in. So we are actually, we've been making some calculated moves the past few days here, getting into some areas that have been beaten down a lot. And I still think the market has some room to go down. I mean, yeah, although yesterday was the biggest up day since 1933, and all it took was, rumors of $6 trillion coming into the market and $2 trillion bailouts and the Fed just doing everything they possibly can. And we still, okay, great. I mean, you're the market was up 2,000. Well, it was down 3,000 the Wednesday before last. Oh, and get this. So I think last Wednesday, if you take like a trailing 2-week time period, there was actually the market had went, when we're looking at balanced portfolios, so 60% stocks, 40% bonds, it was over a 2-week period, there was a 15% drawdown, which that was the largest on record. And the odds of that happening were an 8 standard deviation event. Now, Wikipedia only goes out to 7 standard deviations of letting you know how rare that event is. So 7 standard deviations is once in a billion year event, and this was 8. And so what happens when everything goes down in 2008, and just like what happened now, is during these crises, everything is basically correlated and everything goes down, you know, even crypto, even silver. I mean, everything was going down in the beginning stages besides the dollar. And so we had one of the few strategies that actually survived this whole deal. And, you know, great. You know, if you started with us January of 2019, you're probably still up 20% more than what you started us with, whereas not too many people can say that. But that strategy that worked then is not going to be necessarily the strategy that then makes you the most amount of money going forward. So, you know, if you just got wrecked and you aren't really 100% confident about what you're doing, you guys can give us a call. You can go right to my website. The phone number that's on the website is the phone number right next to my phone. That probably won't be there forever, because then it's going to be going off to other people helping me out. But for right now, you can come directly talk to me. We can do a Zoom meeting. I can, you know, look over your portfolio, give you recommendations, and you're able to talk to me. So, I mean, if you are with Peter Schiff, and you're not going to be able to talk to Peter Schiff unless you're on the way out and he's trying to save you as a client. Whereas right now, you can get some advice while you still can. And, you know, at this point, I've got enough of a track record. In 2007, I had my student managed investment fund that I was running as part of my school's endowment, and had the entire thing in cash. But we got that going too. So, I mean, I was involved for that fight as well. And I was like lightning striking twice, being able to just nail it both times.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, what this means for the future and different strategies of, oh my God, because this is, oh my God. Those are going to find out the oh my God when we come back. Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com. Did you know Tim before it was Co? Well, if you listen to this show, you did. And you're glad.
Second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratewithoutborders.com.
Yeah, future strategy, what you're doing, picking now, and so on. But this is, I mean, all the bad stuff, all the conspiracies, all of the crap that ever is coming. You know, this is Mark of the Beast, big giant debt. You get your smartphone of we track everything. You're not thinking that $1,500, $2,000, whatever money you're going to get is going to be free, do you? You know, Amazon's got all your data, Facebook, and go to hell, screw it. We just want to straight feed in the man, and we already got the software and the AI to do it. It's already done. This is just get you to totally agree, you know? I can feel it. When they had the Maxine Waters legislation in, and then somebody told me back, going, oh, they took that out. That doesn't count anymore. I'm going, are you stupid?
Yeah, I've had people say that to me too. I'm like, you know, it's still an important issue to cover, because this is a trial.
No, it's the issue. They're going to, this is what they've been, this is the Holy Grail. That's why we had in the second letter of Captain Mark, you know, I don't want to be another link in the chain to the crown. That's exactly what it is. Might as well just put a tattoo on your forehead.
Yeah, I had somebody. I've got a girl who's helped me out, like doing some posting and some of the production stuff. And she yesterday sent me a text message last night and goes, you know, we're getting some comments in here that people, didn't like the angle that you were covering this whole crypto thing on. And they'd rather you talk about this. I'm like, I don't give a shit what they want. I'm like, just because some bot or trolls out there don't like the fact that I'm covering this.
Don't even look.
Like, you know, everyone's got their little pet peeve issue, what they want to talk about.
Coffee Donna.
This is the issue. But yeah, I mean, look at some of these headlines. So
all right, let's go over them. Here, we're coming back. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
We try. Tim Pichot, libertyadvisor.com. Happen. All right. One, I want to get, we promised we'd talk about, you know, this, you know, now the strategy, the new strategy of you made to this and kind of, there's got, at some point, there's going to be, you know, 2011 and you're going to be buying houses out the butt or this or that, or are we? I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, is it going to go back up? They're going to inflate the living crap out of it. But I'm just like, man, there's never a better time to buy, like, silver or maybe some crypto or some something. But crypto market's small enough, they manipulate the crap out of it. And maybe even they do that with silver, too, until they can't. So I'm just going, I don't know, man. I'm a silver kind of, you know, that's where I'm, you know, feeling lucky. But, you know, what are some of the news and stuff they're doing now? Tim, go.
What you just mentioned is one of the things, not investment advice, but yeah, I know we are getting into some silver within the portfolio, but there's some ways to do that to help even get more upside.
Yeah, but paper, it's paper, ETF paper, this is the paper, silver paper, and all of a sudden everybody's got to make their margin calls. They sell all their silver and crypto, takes a big giant hit. Silver goes down to $11 and something, but you can't buy a physical round for less than 20. You know, so I'm going, well, that don't mean, you know, the paper, silver price, but they don't mean squat.
Well, I mean, then you're not going to be selling your regular silver anyways during this time anyways. So, I mean, in that regard, you know, it doesn't really matter. But we're also talking to some people who don't stack physical silver and who aren't willing to do that. And so, you know, we've got all types of different clients out here. But yeah, look at some of these proposals that are going on. I mean, what's this lady's name? Rashib Tlaib, or whatever the heck. So she's saying, you know, mint the effing coin. And basically what they need to do is that they're going to have these trillion-dollar coins, and the trillion-dollar coins are going to pay for these prepaid debit cards where they're going to start off with $2,000 per person to every American, and then that will be recharged $1,000 each month. And then this guy who writes for, like, one of the head editors of Business Insider, I used to follow him years ago because this guy was such – I mean, his last name is fitting. It's Wiesensahl, and this guy is such a little weasel. And his whole thing is, you know, mint the freaking coin – actually, you know what, I've got a profanity filter in here, so I guess that's not really what it says, but switch the
words. Well, tell the people what this coin thing was about. I remember Jon Stewart going about it on The Daily Show. They go, well, we don't have a debt. We owe it to ourselves. We'll just mint a trillion-dollar titanium coin and then do what with it? I mean, I don't even understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so they think that, you know, that way they can pay for everything is that the Treasury, that the Fed just buys this, you know, $2 trillion coin from the Treasury. And then all of a sudden, you know, that's a way to pay for everything. So the Treasury Secretary would direct the U.S. Mint to issue two $1 trillion platinum coins under the legal authority provided by U.S. blah, blah, blah. Congress would direct the Federal Reserve to purchase the newly issued coins at full face value. The Federal Reserve would complete the purchase by crediting the U.S. Mint's account at the Fed with $2 trillion in reserves. The Fed would retain ownership over the two $1 trillion coins permanently in order to ensure its own balance sheet remains fully capitalized by the Treasury. The Treasury Secretary would sweep the newly created reserve funds from the Mint's account into the regular Treasury general account, and then the Treasury would make the funds available to the Bureau of Fiscal Service to disperse to every person in America.
Oh my God.
In the form of prepaid U.S. debit cards. And wait, you know what? There's one other point I want to make that's not really related to this, but we know the whole digital dollar thing that we were just talking about, obviously. Well, do you know who the new... starting April 1st, the new director of the comptroller of the currency, so AKA the top person in control.
I know some Goldman Sachs guy, whoever it is.
Actually, it's a Coinbase guy, which I think does have Goldman Sachs ties. So so starting April 1st, we've got a Coinbase guy who's now going to be at the head of the currency.
Oh, I'm so shocked. Weren't they all about compliance and everybody get their, you know, whatever the hell? This is how it happens. Here you go. Now, so the future is what? What are you having people go into? We got to do something different, something. What?
I mean, I mean, the most important thing is, you know, the food, water, shelter, everything that this audience already knows about is the most important. I mean, I guess toilet paper. I mean, I went straight over the toilet paper and just installed a bidet. I'm like, you know, hey, that's a much smarter idea than just getting.
You know, one thing they have on an Etsy thing, they had on the toilet roll, it had like a loop of cloth that went over it, and all it did was hold a bunch of stacks of square, like six inch square fabric. And it's like you do a bidet, you wipe with the fabric, you put it in like a diaper, you know, bin thing, you know, because you're washing diapers. I mean, you know, you wash diapers. So you get a bidet, you kind of clean, you do that, you throw it in there, you wash it, you never use toilet paper again, and you get to use a washcloth to do. I'm going, okay. You know, I can live with that. You know, you never know.
I'd never used one until the other day, and I'm like, oh man, that's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, no, you damn Skippy. I go in with a magazine and a cigarette. I Donna's like, what the hell are you doing? Get you know, yeah, Donna, tell me, am I all about the bidet?
You are all about the bidet and everything in the bathroom. It's like, what are you doing in there?
I got to wait. Oh, it's a high colonic. That's what I'm doing.
That's exactly what it is.
So yeah, we're having a good time. It's you know, I like the bidet because it's very effective and it saves on a lot of papers. But we still go through a lot of paper. I guess we get the big fluffies or something, you know. But the
so your guys' party, you're probably gonna laugh about this. So I stuck the hand sanitizer you gave me inside the roll inside the toilet paper.
Yeah.
And so the problem is I went to go take the hand sanitizer out and I ripped the whole. The cardboard roll right out of it. So now I've got a roll of toilet paper that just a roll without the.
You know, that happened to everybody. You know, you had to be. I'm going, what the heck? And she stuffed it in there because Donna made her own hand sanitizer for everybody to go to the party. Yeah, she's a good hostess. Everybody gets a roll of toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
My girls love that. They have been hand sanitizing themselves with it, and they want to then because it's a really strong smell, so they want to stick their hands in my face, and so I'm like, ah.
You know, that was one thing. We were back in Maine. There was a vodka company going, now we just want to make sure everybody knows, don't use our vodka as hand sanitizer. Stop thinking about boats. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, so it was because you look at Purell and it's ethyl alcohol. That's moonshine. It's just distilled alcohol. I'm going, what are these people thinking? Go get some Everclear. It'll last you forever. I mean, America got an education on this thing. I'm so glad, you know, stupid people have problems. That's just the way it is. What am I looking at here?
Well, so speaking of stupid people, Chuck Schumer is now banned. Is now banned stock buybacks apparently. Which and then even Trump's like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of stock buybacks.
Well, you're banning them.
If you're taking the money, so if you're taking part of this bailout, and actually as part of this whole thing that Trump hotels have been banned from taking any bailout money as well,
but banned by whom?
The Congress. It's part of the bill. It says that Trump hotels can't take any bailouts.
They've specifically named a certain business.
They specifically went and had
if that isn't picking winners and losers.
Yeah, I don't.
Our buddies get, but you no soup for you.
Hold on, the U.S. interest rates are now negative. Breaking news.
No way.
Right, freaking now. Look at the CNBC. We're on Drudge. Clicking on CNBC. Let's go. -0.03%.
Live on Ernest
Hancock. So John Snice and I in June had a video calling for negative interest rates in America. Oh my God, we are here.
No, we are crazy. It would never crazy. You're crazy. I'm going, of course. I mean, what are you guys thinking? Do you believe the coronavirus is a real thing? You know, as well, it's real, not real. The numbers, it doesn't matter.
I heard somebody refer to it in one of the comments as a plandemic.
Yeah, plandemic. I just had that. It was Bruce on, from Narcopoco. I mean, he did a beach thing or something. He was doing a deal.
I also heard, I made up. I mean, it's probably not that funny. It's a bad dad joke, but I'm calling this corony capitalism.
Oh, I am so ripping that off.
Now, Luke didn't think it was that funny.
But, I think that's awesome. Corony capitalism. Abso-freaking-lutely. This is, man, where's the meme? All right, people, the meme. Corony capitalism. Corony. I guess you got to say it like that. Corony capitalism. And the plandemic. This is all. You think this stuff just got written? They had this. They've been planning this since at least since January 16. I think that's when Patrick Byrne said, yep. No, I think they got the memo. Back then, they're going to go crypto. You know, this is it. It gives them the program money that they can do whatever the hell they want, and they can tie it into a smartphone and track and surveil. And yes, absolutely, you get X amount of dollars every month. We're going to $1 trillion you, because the last time they did the TARP, they paid out everybody else, foreign countries, banks, everything, except the people. They could have paid off, our houses been cheaper, but they got to get you in to buy in. I totally agree.
Is spreading the message of liberty.
I totally agree. Give me my money. I agree. Give me my money. And I'm just like, I wanted to just, yeah, okay, I'll take it, endorse here, and just give it to the IRS. No. You're going to have to totally agree to something. And what happens when I don't? Well, time goes on. Years go by. They're going to fine and do, make your life difficult. You're not the right kind of guy to be American. And you're going to have to pay extra for not having health insurance approved by Obamacare or whatever. Well, then eventually that just went away. Will this eventually go away? Will there be a part of it that stays? We still got national health care or something. You know, this is, I'm telling you, this, we're seeing the end days of America. And it's going to be small communities or states even or something that will secede in their head.
Pirate ships.
Well, I was talking to Andrew Henderson from Nomad Capitalist. You know, Nomad Capitalist, this is his whole point. He's like, look, man, and you're gone. You know, be gone. You know, go somewhere. Are you got any kind of outs for them to give up U.S. citizenship, getting different passport, any of that stuff?
I mean, I personally have been looking into Puerto Rico now because I don't know. I feel like it's one of. I mean, talk to Mark Edge about Marianas Islands and what.
I did. I had him on. We did a podcast on it. Tell me everything.
I'll have to check it out then.
Yeah, no, he was telling me all the goodies.
I didn't know about that until he was breaking that down to me. I'm like, wow, that sounds pretty. I mean, obviously, I mean, being on the other side of the world, so couldn't really do that. But yeah, I've been looking into Puerto Rico and seeing what we can do down there. And yeah, who knows?
Maybe get a place, get an apartment, get something just for grins, you know, whatever. Yes,
6 months in one day, and then out of U.S. federal income tax. Sounds good to me. Don't tease me with something.
There is a sense of some satisfaction that you've been, you know, preparing right for whatever, but
now when you got a digital dollar and it's going to be worldwide enslavement, you know, at least we get these last few gallows humorous types laughs.
Right, but this is going to go bad. It's going to go bad. And then they're going to go, hey, Elon, got any Mars room? I mean, you know, yeah, I got a planet here. Knock yourself out. So it's going to be interesting because he's not building, you know, how fast can I build a ship? It's how fast can I build a robot that builds ships? He wants these Starliners come out at least one every 3 days. They got an assembly line. They got a mass production of these Raptor engines, and they're doing this whole thing. It's just stainless steel. So he's just going, I got robots and do that. Boom, 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 boom. So they're going to be, you know, pumping these suckers out, man. It's a mass exodus. It's going to be like Serenity. We left Earth. We were so many, you know, and we just left. Pace. So I'm all right.
You see who else has just tested positive for the coronavirus?
I don't know.
Prince Charles. Well, I mean, didn't he say that he hopes that he comes back as a virus to kill the human race?
I think that was Prince Philip. Okay.
Oh, that was his Nazi. Was that father-in-law or I don't know what the?
I think it's the Queen's husband or.
It's Prince Philip.
Is Prince Philip, and that is her husband. Okay, yeah, she's all roiled up. She reads the, the Inquirer at the grocery store.
Prince Charles has coronavirus now, so he's number one on the list to be eliminated.
I don't care. I'm way down on my, like, I believe him. You know, I'm so way down on my give a crap list, man. This is all.
Yeah. Anyways, I've got to make some phone calls and prepare for Luke. And
all right, cool.
Awesome hanging. And who knows? I mean, it's been a month and a half since we did a full economic report and couldn't. It's funny. You have me take a little. We take a little break, and then during that break, all hell breaks loose.
I know. Every time I go on, but one time I went and the earthquake in Nepal shook the snow off of Mount Everest. Mount Everest was just a rock. you know? And I go, holy crap, tsunamis, you know, financial tsunamis. Whenever I like go, man, I go away, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, you know? So, always. All right, thanks, man. Talk to you later.